I pray, Father, that you would help me to minister your word and your spirit to your flock this morning, that the sheep would be fed, that they would become fat on the word, well nourished, strong. Father, that when you come to take us home and reap the precious fruit of the earth, that those who have eaten that which I have fed through your word will be ready. Father, I cannot make them eat, but I pray you would help me to present your word in a way that they will want to eat. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would please, to Luke chapter 11. Abraham Binninger, a Swiss boy from Zurich, came with his parents to this country on the same ship that brought John Wesley. The father and mother of the lad both died on the voyage and were buried at sea. And he stepped alone from the gangway onto a strange continent where there was not a familiar face. Can you imagine that? When he was grown to manhood, he asked to be sent to tell the story of the cross to the Negroes of the island of St. Thomas, having heard of their great misery and degradation. When he arrived at the island, he learned that it was against the law for any person but a slave to preach to the slaves. It was the policy of the planters to keep the blacks in ignorance and superstition. Shortly after this, the governor of St. Thomas received a letter signed Abraham Binninger, in which the writer begged urgently to become a slave for the rest of his life, promising to serve as a slave faithfully, provided he could give his leisure time to preaching to his fellow slaves. The governor sent the letter to the king of Denmark, who was so touched by it that he sent an edict empowering Abraham Binninger to tell the story of the Messiah when and where he chose, to black or white, bond or free. I want you to consider, what was it in this young man? Did he have an easy start? Was he raised with the silver spoon? Was he catered to and handed everything that he ever wanted? No. He didn't have it as good as my childhood. Or probably your childhood. I don't know how he grew up. But somewhere along the line, he found God. And somewhere along the line, he found something through the Lord Jesus Christ that I think is in great need today. What was it? In our society, people can't even be faithful when they have it easy. We have such a we're struggling to serve Jesus and be faithful to church and be faithful in the marriage and be faithful in our pursuits and we're so tempted by the riches and the glory of this world and all the stuff at Walmart we can buy and the need to be comfortable and the need to be praised or the need to be have what the Joneses have or so forth. And yet here's a young man who grew up and decided that he was willing to be a slave with the Negroes on St. Thomas Island in their misery and degradation, provided he would have been given the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. I guarantee you, here was a man who had no thought for the things of himself. He could have said, I have a right to be a free man. This will not do. He could have sat down and tallied up all the rights that he thought he had, and none of this would have happened. But he had that deep paper that had all of his rights on it was wadded up and thrown away. He had given himself to Jesus Christ, a bondservant, obviously, before this, and he felt the call of his Lord to go and to live a miserable, degrading life to reach souls for Jesus Christ. What was it? What is different about, some people are different. No. He had Adam's blood just like you do. He wanted everything you want. He desired everything you desire. He felt everything you feel. He was a man of like passions as we are. So what was it? What was it? Is it something that I can have? Is it something that I must have? Does God require it? Does God expect it? Those are good questions that we all need to answer. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? There's two types of bread spoken of in this passage. One represents my basic needs. The other represents the empowering of the Holy Spirit. There's two types of bread. Bread for my needs and bread for the needs of others. There's the daily bread. Nothing is spoken of importunity there. Then there's the bread for someone else. And there God teaches importunity in asking for that bread. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. 4 verses deal with my own needs and 9 verses on obtaining bread for others. There's no importunity when it says, give us this day our daily bread. But when it speaks of me obtaining bread for someone else, the need of importunity is brought up. What if your son came to you and said, Father, I'm hungry, can I have some bread? How would you feel? Compare it with, Father, my friend is hungry, can I have some bread? What if your son came to you and said, Father, I'm behind on my payment, can I borrow some money? Or if he came and said, Father, my friend is in debt, can I borrow some money? Would there be a difference there in your feelings? Would one require more importunity than the other? Look back here at verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that means his continued knocking, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. As many as he needeth. Have you ever had an opportunity to entertain a needy soul and felt like you had nothing to set before him? Nothing to share as a father on Bible time? As a mother, no word in due season? As a neighbor, as a friend, as a wife, as a sister, a brother, no exhortation to share? No children's lesson can I think of no sermon on my heart to get up and share with the body of Christ. I feel like I have nothing to give, nothing to offer. You say, is that natural? Yeah, that's natural. If I didn't go to the store, I wouldn't have anything to feed you either. But there is a store. True spirituality is beyond me focusing on my needs. It's not just give us this day our daily bread, but it moves beyond that to lend me 3 loaves for a friend. This is where Abraham Bittinger was. He wasn't looking for his daily bread. His whole struggle in life wasn't for my daily bread, my daily bread, my daily bread. He had moved far beyond that. The daily bread, yes, he thanked God for and asked for daily. But now, his prayers, his importunity, his life was filled in, lend me 3 loaves for a friend. Give me something to give. Give me something to share. Fill me so I can fill others. Bless me that I might be a blessing. This is the difference between a new convert and a missionary. We're talking about the difference between the harvested and the harvester. The difference between someone who can swim and someone who can be a lifeguard. The difference between a survivor and a deliverer. The difference between a baby Christian and a mature Christian. What is the difference? It's those 3 loaves. And what is it? Follow the context here. Okay? He's talking about the 3 loaves. He said he'll give them as many as he needeth. He said, ask, seek, and knock. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, knocketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall my heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So what are those 3 loaves? What are we talking about here? What is this bread? What are we asking and seeking and knocking for? It's the Holy Spirit. And why do I, as a child of God, who already am praying, Thy kingdom come, Our Father which art in heaven, I'm already a child, I'm already getting my daily bread, why do I need to pray importunity and beg and seek and knock for the Holy Ghost? It's because God is not content with me to be just a pot. He wants me to be a vessel of His blessings, His Word, His Spirit. A life spent seeking only my daily bread is a fruitless life. If I am living just so God can give me my daily bread, I'm missing out on the glory of the Christian life. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. And you know, it's quite easy for me to get wrapped up in my daily bread. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's a verse that I think gives us a hint of what these 3 loaves are. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You could say love and power and wisdom. And oftentimes I have prayed, and those are the 3 things that I feel my utter need of. I feel desperate for, because if I'm going to minister, if I'm going to help somebody else, if I'm going to pull somebody else out, I've got to have love, and I've got to have wisdom, and I've got to have power in my life. Or I have nothing to give. I have nothing to set before them. 3 loaves. For my family. 3 loaves. For my brethren. 3 loaves. For lost souls. I was visiting with Brother Randall yesterday, and I shared a little bit about my testimony in this realm. When I was a teenager, my family can vouch for the fact that I was an introvert. I was very quiet. Everybody always complained. They never knew what I was thinking. In high school, I was quiet, very quiet. You say, Brother Mark, I don't believe you. Ask my mom and sister, okay? They're right here. Now I can't keep my mouth shut, but I was very quiet. But you know, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 15 years old. And I had a burden on my heart, burning in my heart to win my high school for Jesus. I didn't know everything I needed to know, but I knew they were lost and on their way to hell, and Jesus was the answer. And knowing that, I carried my Bible to school. And I began to try to witness and hand out tracts. Opportunities came up for me to share my testimony or to preach in the youth department at church, or other youth departments from other churches would hear about the work we were doing in our high school and ask us to come over and preach. And you, the feeling, someone who, I was not Mr. Personality. I was not Mr. Charismatic. I was not comfortable. In fact, the first few times I had an opportunity to speak, I embarrassed myself terribly and wanted to quit very bad, because I was full of a deep feeling and trying to communicate. I remember going to my parents' adult class one Sunday morning. And, you know, here I was, 15 years old, and the adult Sunday school class asked me to come and speak. And I needed those three loaves very badly. And I went up there, and I remember as I began to speak, my emotions got a hold of me, and my voice cracked. And tears filled my eyes. And that was very embarrassing for me as a 15-year-old boy. And it caused my prideful anger to well up within me and want to never do that again. But you know what? I realized that there was a need, and God had called me to meet a need. And I had to get over this. And you know what? I hardened myself so that I could speak without getting emotional, and I could speak without crying, and I could speak without tears in my eyes. And after a while, I realized that I was missing something very important. I realized that those tears were very important. I realized that my hard heart was not being blessed and used of God. And I actually came a day in my life and I said, Lord, if you want the emotion to show, if you want me to get up there and blubber and try to speak and my emotions get the best of me and not be able to hold my emotions back when I'm trying to share, if you want that, it's okay. If you can use it. But it was a struggle. It was a struggle in my life. I remember the first time I preached in the church. And at that time, there was no emotion there. I had squelched that. I had overcome that. But still, I got up in front of the church, and I had the best three loaves that I could pray down, and I shared it, and it was on cassette tape. I think it was the first time it had ever been taped, my speaking. And I took it home, and I got alone in my room, and I put it in the tape player, and I began to listen to it. And I was devastated. Literally. You can't understand the feeling I felt, because I had been standing in front of close to 1,000 people. All my peers, my parents, my grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins, and all the people in the youth department. And now I realized what I sounded like and what I said. And I was mortified. And I was angry. And I took the tape out and literally threw it on the floor. But then I had to repent. I said, oh God, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want your blessing on my life. I want to have something to give. My high school's going to hell and I need your help. And you know what? God began to work in my life. As I began to pray for love, for wisdom, and for power. And still to this day, though you may not understand it, every Sunday morning rolls around, Brother Mark better have something to give. Every Sunday morning. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, if I don't have something to give, you're going to be disappointed, and so will God, and so will I. And it is a weekly prayer. Lord, God, fill me. Give me something that I have something to give. I have nothing to set before them. I feel that every week. And I go and said, lend me 3 loaves. God, I need love, wisdom, and power. For your sheep are here and I have nothing to set before them. What would happen if parents would get a hold of this thing and pray daily for those 3 loaves that they might raise their children thereby? Every father, get a hold and knock and say, Lord, I need these 3 loaves. Fill me with your spirit so I can raise my home and lead my home and teach my family and exhort and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And every mother would pray, Lord, I need those 3 loaves. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with love and wisdom and power so I can train these children and I can love my husband and I can minister to the body of Christ. What if all the grandparents would daily pray for those 3 loaves? God's not going to give you a stone. God's not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to hand you a scorpion. When you began praying and knocking and seeking and saying, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be able to shed forth words of life and love and wisdom and power. You will be a minister of Jesus Christ. You will become a missionary in the brightening the corner where you are. No longer will your daily bread be the big issue on your mind. No longer will you be, anymore. And it's been 27 years since I gave my life to Christ and began trying to speak and to preach and reach out. And yes, I still need my daily bread, but that's not the main thing on my mind. And yes, after I get done preaching up here, and I'd like to say, how did I do? Anybody like it? Is anybody blessed? You know, did I say something stupid? And I'm tempted, just like you would be. You know, have you ever been in a church, back in Baptist church, where people would sing specials. Someone would get up and say, well, I can't sing very well, and don't listen to the voice, just listen to the words. And you heard that? Doesn't that just kind of ruin it? You know, we call it around our house fishing. You're fishing. And we tease one another now and then because sometimes we'll start saying something. You know, you hear someone saying something, well, I just didn't do this very well, or you know, this or that, and we say, you're fishing. And then we sing a little song, fished all night, caught no fishes. It becomes kind of a family joke, because sometimes mama's fishing for compliments, sometimes I'm fishing for a compliment, and it's a family thing. But have you ever heard someone do that? We say, you're fishing. Well, you know what? We all feel those things. But we need to get past that. Because Abraham Benninger, when he sent that letter, he wasn't fishing. And he, as far as he knows, we're not reading his story this morning. You don't know we're reading his story this morning. What he was looking for, he was looking at the need. There is a need. God, help me to meet the need. God, use me. God, I'll sacrifice. I'll suffer. I'll lay down my pride. I'll lay down my security. I'll lay down my feelings. And I'll be your servant to meet that need. If we had a church full of people who were praying for these 3 loaves and seeking to minister to their brethren, and youth seeking to be an example to them, testimony, we wouldn't have the unkind word. We wouldn't have gossip. There would be no divorce in a marriage where the husband and wife are both praying for 3 loaves, that they might have love and wisdom and power to help their mate, their potential for Christ. And, oh God, help me provoke my husband to love and good works. God, give me what I need. You wouldn't have pity parties. You wouldn't have a lack of evangelizing. If you had a church full of people who were praying for 3 loaves, that they might reach out to their community and, God, help me to know how to minister to my relatives. You wouldn't have the fighting. You wouldn't have anybody falling away into sin. And, so-and-so, they're on the verge of falling away. Why are they on the verge of falling away? Abraham Bininger wasn't on the verge of falling away. There's a story told about the ship. The Empress of Ireland went down. 130 Salvation Army officers were on board that ship. 109 of them drowned. Not one of them had a life jacket on. Why? As the story is told by the survivors, the Salvation Army workers that were on that ship, and this is a long time back when the Salvation Army was the Salvation Army. It wasn't the Welfare Army. These Salvation Army workers were out on a mission to preach the gospel. And the story is told by the survivors that they were seen, each of them taking their life jacket and coming up and putting it on other people and saying, I can die better than you can. Do you think those people were caught up in their own daily bread? No. This is the true essence of Christianity. The reaching out, the ministering, the loving. I got an email this week, just to give you a little glimpse of what's going on. Hello, Pastor Bullen. I hope that you and your family are doing well. My name is, and I won't say the name in case it would offend the person. None of you would know this person. I don't even know where they're from. I am messaging you because I have been looking around your website for a couple of days and must thank you for putting up those sermons. I have only heard 2 of them, but so far they have helped me a lot. I am early in my Christian walk. I have been struggling in finding the right path. I will be attending a Catholic university soon in September. I am worried about how this will affect my convictions to live an obedient life. I still attend Catholic Church because it is the only church close enough for me to take my little sister along with me. I still want to instill godly values in my sister, but I have been thinking about letting go of church, Catholic Church. I don't know if I can teach her properly without a church. I am torn sometimes because although I believe that the truth is in the King James Bible, every now and then I will come across a Catholic defending the reasons why they do certain things. Sometimes what they say makes sense and I become confused again. I have prayed for the ability to discern between truth and lie and doctrine. But since I am so ill-equipped, I do not know how to answer. I read the Bible, but sometimes I have questions. I live among the unsaved, and each day it is a battle in my heart to keep my convictions when I am told it is just a phase. They can't guide me. I was wondering if you could guide me, perhaps by suggesting which sermons or tracts could be best to look at. I don't need convincing. Something tells me that the truth is within your teachings, but I do think I need guidance. I hope this doesn't cause any inconvenience. Thank you again for your wonderful site. Have a blessed day. Here's a cause to live for. We have a cause, folks. Something bigger than we are to lift us out of ourselves, make us forget about ourselves, and cause us to accomplish something greater than ourselves. And it's only by these 3 loaves and our importunity. It requires importunity. Why does it require importunity? It's part of what God is wanting to do in you. You're not going to get it with us. That's not what Jesus taught. He said, if you want to be used, if you want those 3 loaves, if you want someone, God Almighty, to reach down and pour His Spirit upon you and fill you with love and wisdom and power so that you have something to give and something to set before them, you're going to have to knock a little harder. I want to challenge you this morning. We, as a church, have a mission. God is depending on us. God wants to reach out to these people like this young lady. I'll just call her Jill. That's not her name. God wants to reach out to the Jills and the Tommies and the Bills and the people out there, the families. We have a family that I talked to the man last night on the phone who will probably be visiting in the next couple of weeks. There are hungry souls dying, going to face eternal damnation in a Christless hell, a pit where there is no water. And God is trying to draw them in, and He needs a dependable avenue, a dependable vessel. He needs people who are willing to lay down their lives and reach out like an Abraham Bininger. How was God going to reach those poor, ignorant Negroes? He needed a man. He needed someone to lay down themselves and to say, I'll go. God has always worked through the local New Testament church, and He always will. God, if everybody was scattered around, God still would want to try and build a forum, a biblical forum, everywhere those people went. The biblical church is the forum that God wants to use. That biblical church is a discipleship program. It is a boot camp for Christian workers. It's not an oasis. It's not a harbor to park your ship in. It is a boot camp to prepare you for service and battle. God wants Living Faith Christian Fellowship to become an efficient army, full of men and women who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who have a fullness of love and wisdom and power, who are ready, who are armored, armed and wearing their armor, ready to serve and reach out, ready to fight the battle, ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can we die better than they can? This nation is a ship that's going down. We need to die to ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ can use us as vessels to reach a dying world. And you know what? All of us have died to an extent. That's why we're here. But we're not done. It's not over. It's a daily thinking, Lord, you need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, use me today. Help me to be alert today. Help me to reach out today. God, put a message on my heart for children's hour. God, fill me with a sermon. I told you, brethren, you come to me and say, Brother Mark, I've got a message burning in my heart. Can I preach? I'd say, praise God, do it. What son do you want? I'd be glad to do that. I've told you that, and I mean it. And you know what? You may have to go through what I went through and conquer it in your own life. You may have to go through I sounded like that. You may have to go through that, but are you willing to go through that? Are you willing to push on through that until you have, the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. I don't believe that God's gifts necessarily come in a quick zap and now all of a sudden you're an effective speaker. The gift of prophecy is a gift of speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I believe it is something that must be practiced and developed in your life I don't think anybody starts out a great orator, and some people never end up a great orator, but the truth, the most important thing is that you can communicate. The power to communicate the Word of God, the power to let the words of God, the mind of Christ, flow through you and touch somebody else. The Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. This is for man, woman, young person, young lady. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your handmaidens and your servants will prophesy. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get up and preach in front of the church in the mixed meeting, but you have a ministry. The elder women teaching the younger women. There is a ministry. The young ladies being a light and we have visitors come. They have daughters. They have people your age. You can speak words of life to them. You can minister to them. But you're not going to do it if you're all wrapped up in the little package called me. You can't do that. I couldn't do it. That package had to be broken. I had to get a cause. And the cause could not be me. The cause had to be elsewhere. I had to get a burden for lost souls. I had to get a burden to reach out and to minister. And you know what? When you're doing this, not everybody's going to love you for it. Some people will attack you because of it. Some people will try to slander you because of it. Jesus, the one who we spoke in Sunday school, who said, how often would I have gathered you as a hen does gather her chicks and you would not, is the same one who said to his brothers, the world cannot hate you, but me it hated. Why? Because I testify of it that the deeds thereof are evil. But how can you coincide those two concepts? Easy. The only way that they could come under his wings is by giving up their evil. He was still testifying, your deeds are evil. Come to me. See, that was the whole program. You got to get the whole picture. They didn't want to come under his wings because they didn't want to give up what they were doing. They didn't want to give up their ways. So not everybody's going to love you for it. When you go out there and you want to spread the love and wisdom and power of God, you might find out that they're not as excited about it as you are. And the majority of the time, that is what you're going to find out. Jesus came down. The Bible says that God gave not the Spirit to him by measure. In other words, it wasn't a measure of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a portion. There was no hindrance. He had everything. He had all of it. He was God incarnate. When the Spirit was poured upon him, there was no limitations. I guarantee you, when he spoke, it was the love and the wisdom and the power of God. But did everyone flock around and follow and listen and obey? No. In fact, we find out that the reason they flocked was because of the bread they ate and the miracles they saw. And Jesus himself said that. You're only interested in me because your belly was filled yesterday. So I'm telling you this. But Abraham Bininger, when he went to those people, I don't have the rest of the story, I don't know what happened, but I can guarantee you a lot of the blacks said, why'd you bother? Bug off. A lot of those people didn't want to hear it. They didn't appreciate the fact that this man had jeopardized his liberty and his freedom and given his life to come and share with them how they can go to heaven. A lot of them would turn and say, bug off. He might have caught a lot of persecution and flack. They may have even killed him. You say, well, that's why I'm not going. But you're missing the point. Jesus came down and they killed him too, didn't they? And we're called to follow his steps. When you place yourself as a vessel before the Lord and say, God, fill me and pour me out upon others. Fill me and use me. Everybody's not going to come patting you on the back and praising you and thanking you. It's not going to happen. But God's going to praise you. He's promised a crown of eternal life to you. And that ultimately has to be enough. That has to be enough. To make you be willing to step out and jeopardize your dignity, jeopardize your pride, jeopardize your security, jeopardize your safety, and speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do that? You say, Brother Mark, that's scary. That's outside my comfort zone. I'm risking. That's a lot of risk there. Yes. Yes, it is. You might even be crucified. You might be called Beelzebub. You might have all your disciples walk away except for a few and have to turn to them and say, will you also go away? It might happen. It might happen to you. But are you willing? You say, Brother Mark, let me get this straight. You want me to go and knock and beg and plead for something that's going to get me crucified. Something that's going to make the world hate me. You want me to pray for God to fill me with His Spirit so I can go out there and be hated by the world? That's right. What kind of a deal is that? If you want fellowship with Jesus, that's what He did. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was tempted. He passed all of His tests so He could be a usable vessel. So He could go out and preach the gospel and tell them the way of salvation so they could hate Him and kill Him and crucify Him. So He could pay for your sins and the sins of the whole world. So then you could go out and the world could still hate Him and mock Him and misrepresent Him. But when it's all said and done, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And we are going to have a kingdom that cannot be moved, a city wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen? It's a worthwhile investment. Do you need those three loaves this morning? I know I do. By the way, there's been times in my life when I was tired or distracted or busy, and I didn't knock sufficiently, and I didn't pray sufficiently, and I tried to wing it from the pulpit, and it didn't work. God didn't bless it. I wish, and it was embarrassing. It was a good rebuke. I know, and only God knows the truth of this. I know that unless Mark Bullen stays out of the way, things are going to go wrong. I got to keep him out of the way. He'll mess everything up. Jesus has to be the one working. It has to be the love and the power and the wisdom of God flowing through this vessel. Because if Mark Bullen shows up, he'll mess everything up. He'll fumble the ball. And I've got a sneaking suspicion it's the same way in your life. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Do some knocking. Do some seeking and asking. Get those three loaves. Focus on three loaves for a friend. Go to God knowing that if you ask bread, you're not going to get a stone. If you ask a fish, you're not going to get a scorpion. Go to God with that faith that if you knock, God's going to do something in your life. God's going to fill you. God's going to equip you. He's going to give you something to give. I want to challenge you with that this morning. It'll revolutionize your home, your life, your purpose. I guarantee you, you won't have to take depression pills. I guarantee you, you won't have to worry about a lot of the things that the world, coping, just happen to cope with life. We need to rise above that in the Christian life. Depression is something that, I'm not talking about physical, chemical depression in the sense I'm talking about a depression that someone is mental depression. What is it? It's very similar to pity party. Depression. suffering with depression. Somebody who was lost in a cause never suffered from depression. Someone who is lost in a cause of reaching out and getting those three loaves and passing those three loaves on, those people don't get depressed. They might be grieved. They might be burdened with the slowness of people to receive the three loaves or whatever, but they're not sitting around suffering from depression. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. Those people don't do that. The people who do that are the people who are still stuck on the daily bread to themselves. I want to challenge you to move on. I want to challenge you to become a powerhouse for God. Let's stand together. Say, Brother Mark, were you talking to me this morning? Yes, I was. Every single one of you. I'm talking to myself this morning. There is something so much bigger than us going on. It's bigger than I am. It's more important than I am. And I want to be a part of the solution. Amen? God can do great things in this church congregation. God can overcome every flaw and fault and sin and challenge in your life that is due to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And He can make your home a ministry station, an effective ministry station. He can make you a prophet of God. He can turn your life into a life with purpose, a life of getting blessings and passing on blessings, a channel of blessing. But you've got the key to the door, and you need to hand that key to God. You've got to be willing to lay down your life that you might live. If a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it's going to bring forth much fruit. But if that corn of wheat doesn't die, it abideth alone. It has to yield up the life that it has in order to produce fruit. It has to go in the ground and decay and lose what it once was. It'll no longer be that again. It totally loses its own being, and God makes it into something different. That's what has to happen in our lives. Any thought or words from the brethren before we close?